Listening Library presents 47 by Walter Mosley. Read for you by Ossie Davis. Preface. The story you are about to hear concerns certain events that occurred in the early days of my life. It all happened over 170 years ago. For many of you, it might sound like a tall tale because I'm no older today than I was back there in the year 1832. But this is no whopper I'm telling. It is a story about my boyhood as a slave and my fated encounter with the amazing Tall John from beyond Africa, who could read dreams, fly between galaxies, and make friends with any animal, no matter how wild. There are many things in the world that most people don't know about. For instance, when I was young, nobody ever dreamed that there would be radios and televisions and powerful jet planes that could fly across the ocean in only a few hours. But all of those things were possible back then, even though nobody knew it. My story is like that. It's about science that seems like magic even today, and about the barbaric practice of slavery that so many of our ancestors had to endure. I'm putting down these words because I'm the only one left alive who remembers what it was like to be a slave in the land of the free, the United States. And I think it is important for other people to understand what this experience was like. I made an oath all those years ago not to tell the general population about the science I was exposed to back then, but I don't think that by telling this tale I will be breaking my vow, because most people who hear these words won't believe in the incredible inventions that were revealed to me by Tall John. You have to have quite an imagination to believe in his sonship or his power over dreams. I hope that you will enjoy this tale of adventure and derring do. But even as you thrill to the dangers and valiant trials of the heroes that lived back then, I hope you will get a little understanding of what it was like to live as a slave at that time. Slavery might be the most unbelievable part of this whole story, but I assure you, it really happened. Chapter 1. I lived as a slave on the Corinthian plantation my whole life, up to the time that Tall John ran out of the backwoods and into my life. I have no idea exactly how long the time before Tall John might have been, but I was most likely about 14 years old at that time. Slaves didn't have birthday parties like the white children of master, or the white folks that either worked for master or lived on the larder of his home. Slaves didn't have birthday parties, and so they didn't have ages like the white people did. Big Mama Flora always said that white people got as many ages as you can count, but slaves only got four ages. That's baby child, boy or girl, old boy or old girl, and dead. I loved Big Mama Flora. She was round and soft and always gave me a big hug in the morning. She was one of the only ones who ever showed me kindness when I was little. My mother died when I was too young to remember her face. Big Mama told me that my mother, whose name was Salma, had a boyfriend over at the Williams Plantation, but she would never tell anybody who he was, because she didn't want him getting into trouble for sneaking out to see her in the big house at night. Flo also told me that that man nobody knew was my father. She didn't even tell you his name, Big Mama? I asked when she would tell me the sad story of Solomon Turner when I was still too little to have to work in the cotton fields. No, baby child, Big Mama said. Master Tobias would have given a Christmas ham to the nigger told who had fathered his wife's favorite maid's baby. He'd walk through the slave quarters at night, saying that he would give the man who looked like Salma's baby to Mr. Stewart for punishment. So, if some slave knew who it was that your mama was seeing, he would have done himself a big favor by telling Master Tobias his name. And once that Tobias knowed who that slave was, he was sure to end up in Mr. Stewart's shack. Tobias Turner was Master's name, and Mr. Stewart was his overseer. The overseer made sure that all us slaves worked hard and didn't cause any ruckus or break the rules. The rules were that you did as you were told, didn't talk back, never complained, and stayed in your place. Mr. Stewart had a shack that stood out in the middle of a stand of live oaks behind the slave quarters, and if you were ever unlucky enough to get sent back there, then you were in serious trouble. Many slaves never returned from Mr. Stewart's killing shack, and those that did come back were never the same. I hadn't seen Mr. Stewart's torture chamber at that time, but I knew about it because I had heard stories from those few souls that survived his torments. They said that he had a pine table that was twice as long as a tall man is tall, and there were leather straps on both ends that he would tie to a slave's wrists and ankles. The straps were attached to baskets filled with heavy stones that would stretch a poor soul's legs and arms out so far from their sockets that afterward that slave could hardly even lift his feet off the ground to walk. And he would have to use both of his hands just to get the food to his mouth to eat. "Yes, sir," Big Ma Floor would say in the backyard under the big magnolia tree that Una Turner's great-grandfather planted when he settled the land back before any living slave, even Mud Albert, could remember. "Yes, indeed. If Master Tobias knowed who your father was, that man wouldn't have stood a nigger's chance on the main road at midday." I was broken-hearted when Big Mama would tell the story about my mother and her sad end. When Salma died, giving birth to me, Una Turner told Master Tobias that I was to remain on her family's plantation for as long as I lived as a remembrance to my mother. Una loved my mother because of her voice. It was said that Salma Turner had the most beautiful voice that anyone on Corinthian plantation had ever heard. Miss Una had a weak constitution and bad nerves, and when she would have an attack, it was only my mother's singing that would keep her from despair. Miss Una loved my mother so much, Big Ma Flora said, that she would have been sure to keep me up in the big house with her if she had lived. But a year after my mother died, Miss Una had one of her attacks, and, without Salma's singing, she succumbed to the malady and passed over to the upper level and back to the place that all life comes from. Sometime after Miss Una died, Master Tobias named me 47. And told Big Mama that when I was big enough, I was meant to live out in the slave quarters and work in the cotton fields with all the other slaves. Master Tobias didn't like me because he blamed my mother for getting pregnant and stealing herself from his property by dying. But he didn't want to sell me off because it was Miss Eunice's dying wish to keep me on her plantation near my mother's grave. Until I grew, Master Tobias made me live in the barn, feeding and grooming the horses, and running any errands that the house slaves had for me. I made myself pretty scarce out there, because whenever Master saw me, he'd remember my mother, and then he'd get mad and look to see if I'd done something wrong. And if there was one straw out of place, he would tell Big Mama Floor to get a razor strap and whip my backside. Big Mama didn't want to beat me, but she did anyway, because Tobias was watching. After these beatings, when Master was gone, Big Mama would fold me in her arms and apologize. "I'm sorry, baby child, but if and I didn't make you cry, he would have took the strap," she'd say, "and whip you hard enough to draw blood." "Why he hate me so much, Big Mama?" I'd whine. "He blame you for his wife dying," she'd say. "He just hurt so much inside, and you the only one left alive that he could blame. But I didn't do..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?